Being alive is not the same thing as living. I hope someday you'll have a chance to realize the difference.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are a podcast that brings you all of the news you need to know about Book Talk's most popular books and tells you whether or not you should take the time out of your busy schedule to read them. I'm Catherine.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Caitlin. And you may have noticed we skipped a week last week, and that's because today we are reviewing the fattest book we've ever read on this podcast.
Is Kingdom of Ash shorter than this book?
I'm like pretty sure.
Priory? I think Priory is like 900, right?
We're reviewing Alchemized by Sinlin Yu. It is 1,024 pages. What's the verdict, Catherine?
I'm looking. Why does it not say it?
Goodreads would say.
Oh, yeah. 984. So this is the longest book we've read.
The fattest book we've ever read. Not by a long shot, but by a fair amount of pages. You know, every page is a big deal when it's that long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we needed a little extra time to get this one done. Alchemize is really culturally significant because it started as a fan fiction published on AO3, and it was a Harry Potter fan fiction, a Draco Hermione romance, and it was heavily also like Handmaid's Tale. Well, it was such a hit online, it has now been traditionally published. However, you can't publish someone else's world. So this is the same book, the same length, rewritten pretty much completely. Same story arc, almost nothing else is the same. So a cool cultural moment, but this is about a girl who is a healer in a war, and the war is over and her side has lost. The quote unquote good side has lost, and she is now in the hands of the bad side and is sent to live with the top ranking general of the bad side. And there's just a lot on war, the effects of war on people, mental health, and it's one of those books that, like, it might not have a, like, stereotypical happy ending, but it's so much about war that, like, it can't be. It's not a happy book, guys. Don't go into this romantasy. It's not a romantasy. It's a war book.
Yeah.
Every trigger warning.
Plot.
Yeah.
But it is sort of secondary for most of the book.
I mean, there's three sections. And in the beginning section, the plot is that the main character has, like, self-created amnesia. So she basically forced herself to forget events of the war. We don't know why. And then the second part is her memories coming back, and the third part is what she does once she remembers everything.
Like 1 + 1 = 2. And then she
Okay, well, let's read some reviews from the internet. Oh, also, actually, we should say up top, just to be very explicit, there are very graphic scenes of rape and sexual assault in the first part. And
every trigger warning you can select on any of the review apps is in here.
Yes, but particularly it is Handmaid's Tale, and there are very explicit scenes of rape. So,
yes.
Anyway.
Guys, we also checked off another mild cannibalism appearance.
Oh my God, yeah, we did.
We did. Sad but true. This one was not as fun as some of our other cannibalism reads.
Nope.
It was just gross.
Yeah. All right. Did you guys get reviews from the internet?
Yes. Most of them said either DNF or best book I've read all year or best book I've ever read.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to find some in between. I found a 5-star that said, I liked it because it said, I am in awe of what Sinlin Yu created twice. Both amazing reads in their own ways. And then I picked a one star that I found, which was like one of the very few one stars on Storygraph. It said, "This was crap from a butt. I miss who I was before I read this book. A gigantic waste of time. Everyone needs better standards because what the hell was this?" Reminding you, you don't have to read the 1,000-page book.
Yeah, I feel like if you don't like the book, you should just DNF this book.
Right.
Yeah.
And I have one more also because I liked sentiment. It was 5 stars also. And it says, "I actually liked it better than Manacled. It was well done. It definitely can be triggering for those with trauma."
Yes.
Yeah.
Not for everyone. I went to the 1 stars on Goodreads, and a lot of them had to do with trigger warnings and about SA. And a lot of them were sexual assault victims who did not love the SA in this book. But at the same time, I feel like the author did a good job about trigger warning. So it's go at your own risk, especially if you knew it was going to be Handmaid's Tale. Handmaid's Tale is a very triggering book.
Yeah.
But I found this 1 star that wasn't about that. And it just says 3 words, a dreary slog.
Yes.
Whether you liked it or not, that's factual.
Yeah. There's something about this book that is like a little bit, a little life-esque.
Yes.
But more interesting.
Definitely more interesting than A Little Life.
Okay. So I just got one today. 2-star review. Unpopular opinion. I really miss the days when books went through a rigorous editing process.
Did you write that? No.
I could have. I felt it hard.
Yep.
What's interesting is I am almost certain this did go through a rigorous editing process to make sure that all traces of the Harry Potter world were erased.
Yeah. Yes. They did not want to play with those copyright. Like, it is
that lawsuit Harry Potter. Dick.
And I will get into this later, but also really interesting. I actually, in comparison, all of The Handmaid's Tale was also erased.
Yeah, the only thing that's left is the red garments. But all the stuff with the wives is gone, which was part of The Handmaid's Tale. We don't need to get into that here.
We can get into it later. But so there were 2 worlds that had to be erased from this book. So it did go through rigorous editing. I just think it was so beloved online, it didn't get parsed down.
Yeah.
Yes. They let her keep a little too much. That's my opinion. But anyway, it is, despite being over 1,000 pages and incredibly dark, it has amazing reviews. So the overall Goodreads rating is 4.52 out of 5. The Fable rating is 4.5 out of 5. And the Storygraph rating is 4.52 out of 5. What did you guys think?
So I did see all of our reviews before we started recording. So I'm actually the lowest.
I saw them all too.
Yeah, I'm shocked. I'm actually the lowest.
I haven't seen Caitlin's, I don't think. Anyway, continue.
So I gave it 3.5 out of 5. And mostly that is because of the length of this book. And there were chapters that I felt were really unnecessary. Like there was just a lot of exposition and like build up to something that could have been done in a lot quicker wordage, verbiage, like anything. And also, I think it's also partially because of a busy girl mindset where this is just not friendly to busy girls. And I normally can like breeze through books, even though they're long. This is not one of those books, like not even page count wise, but just topic wise. Like I had to take like mental health breaks from this book because it was just so draining. I mean, it's a good book. Like it's well written and it's well thought out. And I think the world is very interesting and the characters are very interesting. And I liked how everyone was morally gray or morally black. There was no like hero characters. There were no like there was like really only a few villains, but the rest of them were very morally gray. And like you had to figure out which side of the war is truly right. What is the cost of war? It was very interesting analysis of war politics and a system and magic, but it was just too damn long and there needed to be some paring down. Like no one should be forced to read 1,000 pages of a book.
Yeah. I think me and Caitlin are equal. actually. So I gave this book 4 stars. And I'll be honest, I have a very complicated relationship with this book. I wrote like basically a hate mail. I don't think
anyone who has read this has a simple relationship with this book.
Yeah, I think this book does a lot of things right. It is very dark, though. And honestly, I just don't know that dark romance is for me. Because even though I think this author did it really well, it still makes me uncomfortable that the point of a book this dark is the romance. I think I'm just more comfortable when there's darkness, but the major plot line is like resistance or fighting or something. But I still liked it because I still think the author did it well. I just don't know that this book is like for me necessarily, which held me back. I also think it is too long. You could easily chop 200 pages out of this book and you wouldn't miss them. And it still would be an 800 page book. But I think losing 200 pages would have just really fixed some of the pace issues.
Yeah.
The reason this book is 4 stars for me is because I literally could not put it down. I just like once I started reading it, I couldn't stop, even though there were parts of the book that I literally hated. I like could not break myself away from it. So I give like the author huge credit for that. Mm-hmm. Major points taken off, though. I think the biggest reason this isn't 5 stars for me is because the magic system made zero sense to me. Yeah. The details are sloppy. They don't make sense. There's no actual descriptions of like what these different powers do. It's like very chaotic. That's part of why I read the editing review, because I was like, someone needed to tighten up this magic system because it's a disaster. And I think the book relied too much on characters. Like in the original fanfic, the relationships between the characters, the author didn't have to create those because you were going into it already knowing the characters. In this book, I think the relationship suffered because these are new people who you don't already know the relationship. So anyway, that's really long-winded, but I gave the book 4 stars. So do it that way you will.
Well, especially if you go into this book, like Draco and Hermione, even if you keep that in mind, it does read like Draco and Hermione. So like you can also get away with a lot as an author.
Sort of.
I hated the main woman, female character. I hated her.
You're not supposed to like her.
No.
You're not supposed to like anyone. I will argue as we go forward that this book is not a romance. It is a war story and mm-hmm. how two people do whatever they can to survive it and come out the other end. You took your last 2 points were exactly what I was going to say. I also gave it 4 stars. The magic system, while incredibly unique, was not, I didn't get it. Super unique. Impressive. Mm-hmm. She like created a whole new world and magic system. Sinlin Yu uses they, them pronouns. The whole time I was reading this book, I was like, why is she still caring about this good side's fight as a foreigner?
Mm-hmm.
Because we do not like J.K. Rowling here, but we are Harry Potter girls. We grew up on Harry Potter. So when you're reading Manacled, I am the only one in this group who read Manacled. You know why she's fighting for that side still is because you know you had 7 books of background story to know these characters and know their relationship. Mm-hmm. So you're totally right that I was kind of like, girl, just leave.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
It felt like she had Stockholm syndrome on both sides.
Yeah, absolutely.
She was trying to be a morally good person. And she found herself quite literally in the middle of a war. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, it was, I don't know. It was 4 stars for me because it was still like, couldn't put it down. I wanted to keep reading. I don't mind a dark fan, like a dark romance mixed in there. And I don't ever shy away from war stories, really. So this didn't bother me too much on that front.
Yeah. I will say to like your point about the magic system, I felt like they used like, oh, complicated chemistry. That's why no one like there's a lot of moments where the like the characters themselves were like, oh, it's super complicated. I'm like, does it have to be?
Right. But I still have to get it sort of though.
Like
Luke, I sort of got it. I got it enough to where it didn't make me hate the book, put it that way.
Yes.
Yeah. No, so there were like some clear, there were like, if you added like a few short sentences to clear things up, it would have made real lot more sense.
Yes.
You're right. I make this point in my review too, that I think with books this long, some of those finer details often get lost because the challenge of putting it together is so great that it's impossible to like truly hone it. And so I feel like ultimately they just sacrifice some of those details.
I also think so many of the early readers are people who read the fan fiction.
Mm-hmm.
That they're going to like it no matter what. So I'll be interested to see if the reviews change over time.
Right. All right. Well, that brings us to our non-spoiler discussion section. Is this book more plot or character driven? And Caitlin kind of debuted this question already. Maybe we should address it. Is this book a romance?
I mean, in the most generic definition of a romance, yes. But like in like the normal like book genre definition of a romance, no. Like it's a book about survival. And how, what you do and what it takes to survive in the worst circumstances possible. Like, I don't see that these two characters would have ever gotten together if it were not for the war.
Right.
I don't know. Plot or character driven is hard. Like, it's obviously plot in the sense of the war and like there are things that she can't control, but she also is heavily involved in the decision-making process behind the war. So she has some autonomy and can change the fate of herself, but I would say plot only because it's war.
I agree with what you said. However, I'm going to lean more towards the plot side because a lot of why you keep reading is to find out what she's forgotten. Mm-hmm. So the amnesia part is sort of the plot.
Right. I agree. I think you almost have to analyze this book section by section. The first part of the book, I think, is largely plotless and absent character development because you're just sort of being introduced to the world in present time. But the motor behind
is
everything,
like not sure who she is or what's happening.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
basically. But the motor that keeps you reading is the amnesia. Then you finally get to experience her memories. And then I think it's more plot because you're reading just the war and why she says yes to the arrangement, and you get the backstory. And then the third part, I think, is also plot because it's more like now they have to like finish what they've started. But yeah, I ultimately do think it's a romance, though. That's my opinion.
There's a romance in there.
I think that's why you read, though. Without the romance, there's no plot.
I think weirdly manacled while being way more like dubious consent and things, read more romantic, weirdly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I don't know if just because you already knew the characters in the world or what, but it did. Well, I mean, a little more romantic.
Germaine fan fiction has been written for goddamn years.
And this is not the only one that's been published this year into a real book. However, it is the biggest. It is the biggest deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it already has a movie deal.
It already has a movie deal, which is crazy.
Before it hit the shelves.
I'm sorry. Respectfully, I'm not watching it. Like,
well, that's what when I read this one, I was like, whoa, maybe the old one. This one? Woo.
Yeah. That's a no for me.
You can go ahead and check that question off. Would you watch a movie or TV show of this?
Normally, our last question, we're not going to watch it.
This book is really heavy on necromancy, so that is where I would pass seeing.
Yeah,
that.
The Walking Dead is not my favorite.
It was dark enough in my head.
Yeah.
Right. I don't really need to see all of these things brought to life. Okay, so have you / would you read other books by the author? We've already been discussing kind of the original fanfic, but
I mean, this is their only published work, officially published. they have a lot of other, I'm told a lot of the other fanfics are Omegaverse.
Interesting.
Wow.
I can't verify that, but that's what someone told me. So I read Manacled. That's it.
I have not read any other books, but I'd be curious.
I have a confession that I finished this book and I just could not get my brain off of it. And so I actually did start reading Manacled. Felt like
reading it in verse is so interesting.
I had a really, so I'm only, I just finished the first part of Manacled. So I'm through the first section on, I'm like 350.
So you know what I'm talking about when I say it really did actually write out most of the Handmaid's Tale stuff.
Yes. And I had a really interesting experience. I just felt like I needed the context for Alchemized. And now that I've started reading Manacled, I feel like I understand a lot more of like the choices that were made and the gaps and the things that are in Alchemized. Manacled is definitely a little bit sloppier. Like you can tell that there's not someone who's editing it for her, but the main character, because her main character is Hermione, the main character is a lot more likable. But it's sort of like better and worse in different ways. There are definitely like different choices made. And I think that editors helped her make the overall arc a little bit more acceptable because Manacled is very harsh. But anyway.
Darker in some instances, but lighter in others.
Yes. Like the shifting is very interesting, how they changed.
Yeah.
Anyway, so obviously, yes. I don't know if I'll finish Manacled, to be honest. I started it because I just like had to see what it looked like originally.
The ending, I think, is a lot more powerful.
Oh.
Like, yes and no. It's different.
Yeah.
Could you
if you're already through part one, that's a hard part. So
Could you skip part two then and just go straight
to
part?
That's like the best part of actual Manacled.
Okay.
Because you like are back with Harry, Ron, and Hermione.
I know. Well, that's how reading Manacled is part of how I knew that the side characters were so weak and alchemized, though, is because I was like, oh, now I'm back in a plot where I actually care about all these other people.
I was trying to figure out who was who.
Not all of them translate. Some of them were combined and some portions were combined into separate ones. Like it doesn't perfectly translate.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure
out like the main three, four characters.
Yeah.
Right. But it is so devastating in Manacled to like hear about what happens to like McGonagall and you're like,
no,
it really kills you. Okay. Anyway, the big question probably for this book is how is the pacing? It's 1,000 pages. It's 3 parts. How long did it take you?
Actually, incredibly well paced because you're interested, but at the same time poorly paced because it's just so long.
I would say part two is the worst pacing.
It's faster paced and Manacled would be my review. It took me 2 weeks, and that was I was reading the physical book and listening to the audiobook on like 1.5 times speed whenever I could. It's lengthy. I think when I read Manacled, it took me several weeks while doing other things. And also it had a Spotify version. So I also did dual listen to and read that one.
Yeah, it took me about 2 weeks to read this one as well. And I did not listen to it on audiobook, but whenever I had a break at work or whenever I was like had time, I would just pick it up and read.
I think it actually took me, probably a week and a half to read it. I was a bad busy girl and I procrastinated reading this. I had double the time. Caitlin and Catherine had to read it and I still didn't finish it in time. It was just, I agree. I actually think for the most part, the pacing is very good.
Yeah.
I think there are some long monotonous stretches in particularly the middle section in this one that could be cut out. I think the ending could have been tightened as well. To be honest, I think every section could have been cut down 50 to 60 pages. But in for a book this long, I normally like tear these books apart for like not really utilizing the space they have, which was one of my big issues with Priory. But I actually did think that for the most part, everything was interesting. Every scene felt like it had an intention. So I was not bothered by the pacing.
No. I could see an argument for making this book a trilogy. However, I think reading those sections as a standalone and waiting for another book, a lot of people would quit after book one. I also don't think you should do that.
No, I think it's a good standalone book. I think it was fine pacing. It was dark, which makes the pacing hard at times. Yeah. But the only issues I ever ran into was in the middle, was in the parts where they were just kind of going about their days in the middle of the war when nothing was really going on. And it was like just like normal life almost, because you were trying to get to the point where you could go to part three and you're back to present and she's figured it all out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So
this book really like triggers my like writer's impulse, because I would love to get my hands on this and edit it myself. Like, I personally think this book in its ideal form is parts one and two as one book and part three as its own separate book. And I feel like she could have just gotten a lot deeper into the magic system, into the secondary characters. Like, I think when you put everything in one book, you sacrifice those plot lines.
You would have read more.
I would have read more. I agree though that you couldn't have each section its own book though, because part one is just too dark. And I also had to stop reading at some parts and take a break because it was just too much.
Disclaimer, my friend's college age son picked up this book as just a random book within its like first week of publishing and read it in a week and loved it. He was pissed when his mother told him that I was talking about how it was a Dramione fanfic. And he's still not over it because he liked it so much.
Didn't know.
Just,
oh my God.
I saw a cool cover fantasy sci-fi kind of book, picked it up.
Yeah.
I can't believe there are people wild out here.
Yeah, what a wild book to pick up with no context. That's crazy.
Loved it. Destroyed it. And then my friend was like, is that the one that was... I was like, yeah, that one's the Dramione fanfic. He was pissed. He got tricked into reading a fanfic. But it's not a fanfic anymore. It's okay.
It is not a fanfic anymore. She is... or they are making bank right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, right. I thought that would be a good little anecdote going into the spoiler section. Oh, wait. Busy girl rating.
Busy girl rating.
Zero. I'm sorry. It's not a busy girl book.
I've been debating between a two or a three. I don't think I'm gonna do a zero.
I was gonna do a one. No matter how good it is, that's the one. It's worth reading, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really, really, really not for everybody. I've told people don't read this book because of how dark it is. And then you can't bang this out fast. So I am giving it a one.
I feel like I'm shitting on this book. I'm not. I enjoyed this book, actually. But, like, I'm just being harsh because of how long it is. And as
it can be a five-star book and a zero busy girl. Like, that's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gave Babel 5 stars and 0 busy girl stars.
Yeah. It's a thing.
I don't think I'm going to be that harsh. I think I'm going to give it a 2. I do think it's extremely dark and it's extremely long. However, I think if you know what it's about, then if you're able, you should be self-aware. And I think if you've heard what the book's about, you know what it's about, and you're prepared for how dark it is, I think it's still worth reading. I think I'm not going to give it higher because of the length and because of some of my other critiques, but I do think it's easy enough to put down and pick back up that you can still make it through 2 weeks of reading it without getting lost or losing interest. All right. Spoiler alert. There is a lot in this book. So decide if you want to experience it all in its full 1,000-page glory for yourself, or listen to us talk about everything and ruin it.
Also, from this point forward, all the trigger warnings in the book apply to our discussion.
Yes.
Yep.
So, careful. You're already ruined, but you don't have to be.
Yeah, save your mind.
I was talking about the stuff I'd been reading lately, and my work friend was like, I'm worried about you.
My therapist was.
Yeah.
And I said, it's okay, I already go to counseling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My therapist was concerned about this book.
She was like, I'm going to write that saying down. It's okay, I already go to counseling. Read this, and we read like Tourist Season and Mate and Girl Dinner, all like back to back.
Yeah, as Catherine said before we started recording, she feels like she has Stockholm Syndrome for this book, and I feel that way too.
Because I'm like, I enjoyed it, but I feel like I was held hostage at that point.
Yeah, like I should have just left and saved myself. Why didn't I?
Yeah.
Okay. Our first discussion question is the orange origin of the book. What do you guys think about it being a Draco Hermione fan fiction? Yeah.
I would like to also clarify, they made fun of me for reading Manacled 2 years ago.
We did.
We did.
One and only fan fiction I have ever read. And it was TikTok's fault because girls on my TikTok feed, their friends were making them like bound editions of Manacled, their favorite book, for like gifts and stuff, and the girls were crying and people were talking about how great it was. So I was like, you know what, it was 2 years ago, I had a lot more free time to read just above and beyond our podcast list. That is not the case this year. So I just like read it around Christmas break, and really festive holiday read, guys. And they made fun of me, but now I was part of the history made, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't pick it up because it was a Draco Hermione fanfic is what I was getting at. I picked it up because it was popular. I understand why people might like that.
Mm-hmm.
However, like, you could turn me into a Draco girl, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And he sort of gets a redemption arc in the original series.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's fine.
Well, I mean, he's a morally gray character. Like, he's heavily influenced by his upbringing, but he ends up on the right side of history by the end. And you can see the torture he underwent. So, like, I think he is one of those redeeming characters that, like, by the end of it, you come back away from it being like, he did some shitty things. He's not perfect, but he at least...
But they were children.
He was a child. And right. How he was treated by his father and his family and forced into this life. Like, you can understand where he got his prejudices from. And I can see why the two of them get shipped more than even Ron and Hermione.
Yeah.
Because, like, they are the smartest people in their grades. Like, that's...
Intelligent, cunning, yeah. Fiercely mm-hmm. loyal, just... Different upbringings.
Yes. So if she wasn't a muggle born, they would have ended up together if the situation was different. I do think that actually, because like I hate Hermione and Ron. That's just my vibes. Like,
likes it. If you like it, please let us know, because I've never met anybody who likes it.
Well, I haven't read Harry Potter in a long time. I remember thinking it was fine. Like, I wasn't thrilled with it, but wasn't
sense in the end, but
right. I got on board by the very end in the book series.
Yeah.
I think what really throws it off is actually the movies, because the two actors who play Ron and Hermione have zero romantic chemistry.
They are clearly like siblings from spending so much time together.
Yes.
And it really
Emma Watson said it was like kissing her brother.
Yeah. Like, it just doesn't.
Where this is probably what did some of this is if you read Tom Felton's memoir, which I did, him and Emma, like, were always kind of a question mark.
Yeah, there was a flirtation.
Yeah,
they were never romantic, but, like, it was always a maybe.
I do actually. I think that is part of where all this comes from, because for on sure. screen, even as kids, you can feel that there's like a vibe. And so now we have fan fiction instead.
Yeah. So Casey, I will be interested to hear if you finish Manacled, your thoughts having read them in reverse order.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine does have in here asking me about what I think of both and which was my favorite. She wrote, side note, you're crazy for reading two 1,000 page books. Y'all read all the Sarah J. Maas too. It's not just me. Also, the book 7 of the original series is freaking like 800 something pages. And I read that in 24 hours when it came out as a child. that's my comfort series. So I am going to say I liked Manacled best because you did have the already foundational knowledge of the characters and the magic system. It was really depressing because all your favorite characters are dead. However, it just made it easier to read having that background knowledge, and it was a world you're already comfortable in. I have read the series multiple times. I've watched the movies even more times. Mm-hmm. I do not support J.K. Rowling, but you'll have to pry those books out of my cold, dead hands.
Oh, yeah. We all grew up on those books. Like, I mean, I'm a self-described Slytherin who owns a Slytherin jersey.
So. Oh, wait. Okay. Guess our houses.
Guess you two's houses?
Yeah, because you just gave yours away. That's a fun topic.
Caitlin's a Hufflepuff.
No, she's a Ravenclaw.
Oh, my God.
I said that just to insult you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Caitlin's Ravenclaw.
She is, for sure.
Every quiz I ever take, ever.
Yeah. I'd be interested, actually, what you guys think I am.
Feel like you're a Ravenclaw, but you're, like, half and half.
I could see you go Slytherin like Catherine.
But yeah, that's where I'm Slytherin is my other guess.
The fiercely loyal part.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have... my whole life defined as half Ravenclaw, half Slytherin. So you guys nailed it.
No, you
she bridges the gap.
Yeah. Every test I've ever taken is three-way split. And it's Gryffindor, Slytherin, and Ravenclaw. Like, I've taken... Yeah. It can't decide for me. So I've just decided on Slytherin because I feel like I identify more with that energy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
No Gryffindor for us.
That was a side note. she brought it up and I wanted to know.
That's okay.
That being said, yes. I also this book was so different from Manacled. Because, and here's the main difference, part one of Manacled, now I sound weird saying I like that one better, was a lot more Handmaid's Tale. Repeated non-consensual sex that neither of them wanted to be having.
Yes.
And then after that, it was even like just a lot of dubious consent kind of stuff. And it was very Stockholm syndrome-y, very much like, well, it could be a lot worse, which you still get in this book. But so the first half is darker and Manacled, but part two, I would say, is darker in the second one because of the disgustingness of the necromancy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Pick your poison, I guess.
Right. Okay, so next question. What did you think of the magic system, the world, and the necromancy, vivimancy, animancy? I mean, who knows what any of them are? I don't.
Okay, I have been waiting for this question because I have something to say.
Oh.
I'm like, all right, I could sell you the magic system by saying people have evolved to have resonances to certain metals and kind of warp them with their bodies. You know, they can warp certain metals they have an affinity to. I could even sell you that among those, some people have the added bonus of having a resonance towards, like, human bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a rare extra mutation. And that would be the vivimancy and necromancy. I cannot sell you on the freaking pyromancy. Where does it come from?
I'm confused by that as well.
Even, okay, so vivomancy and animancy and resulting necromancy, I guess, are like the illicit powers. So it's considered fine to be like a firebender or a metalbender, but it's technically not fine to be a healer. And then there's the added step of animancy. I genuinely, to this moment, could not tell you what the fuck animancy is.
I couldn't tell you the difference between it and vivomancy.
I don't know where one starts and the other ends. It makes no sense.
It was the ability to like enter and alter minds instead.
But they never do it. There's like no actual like.
She does it on herself and he does it on her with the memory stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But other than going through people's memories, I'm like, is that just it? Like, yeah.
It's not very explained. No.
I think that's it. I will say, okay, so that's where Manacled made a lot more sense, because it is not, it's really just normal magic versus like the dark magic. Mm-hmm. Like in the war, the Death Eaters are using the Cruciatus curse and, you know, Avada Kedavra and all the dark, you know, the, what do they call them? Unspeakables or whatever.
Unforgivable.
Yeah. Unforgivable curses. Yeah. So it's really that in that book, Hermione is like, what if we used it too, guys? Hey. And everybody was like, oh my God. So yeah. That's where the like, they had to find something that still carried that plot point of like, these people are so set in their ways and so set in good that the suggestion to like beat them at their own game was horrific. Yeah. And that's where it made more sense in Manacled.
Yeah. Yeah. It was quite complex.
So Hermione was like, hear me out.
But I
use the dark magic.
I do think it's interesting the conversation around like her own power being bad and like her own power being like somehow like unholy. And I kind of liked like the religion aspect of it. But I didn't love like the tower and all of that, like the school. I didn't feel any connection to the outcome.
I also think this could have been stronger if she was not a foreign student.
Yeah.
I understand they were trying to translate the mudblood aspect of things, the muggle-born aspect. However, it made me doubt even more why Helena would keep supporting these people who made her a scholarship case, and she just stayed to keep giving herself away to this war, where it made more sense with the background of the world of Harry Potter.
Because
she wasn't a foreigner. It was still her country.
Yes, I agree with that. I also think you get in Manacled why the good side is the good side. Like,
you have
in this
7 books of why they're the good side.
Right. In this one, I was actually like, I'm a little confused as to why the good side's the good side.
Yeah.
It's like, I was kind of like, I don't know if they're the good side, and I don't know why the bad side is trying to conquer them at all.
Yeah.
However, then you find out at the very end. But
yeah, you figure it out. Like, you understand the motivations of the bad side a lot more than you understand the motivations of the quote unquote good side, because the good side is not brainwashing. They are completely erasing history and rewriting it to their own narrative.
They're religious zealots.
Yeah. They're religious zealots.
And so I don't get like, why she bought into it.
Yeah, she obviously wasn't a religious zealot or a follower of the religion, but she allowed them to like mutilate her body.
Yes.
Like, I was like,
I was about to say, she was like, I'll buy in. And they were like, all right, but we have to sterilize you because you're a foreigner.
Yeah.
That is so problematic.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that is one of the things that I found most confusing. And I think that's part of why the main character is so unlikable in Alchemized versus Manacled, is because it makes her just seem like a total doormat. Like,
yes,
I would understand why Hermione stays despite conflict in Manacled.
That is the main reason why I think Manacled is slightly more of a romance classification than this book, because this book is far more just someone who found themselves accidentally in the middle of a war zone. And doesn't totally know which side to be loyal to by the end, and is just surviving.
Right.
With the one other person who's not sure which side they want to be on and is also just surviving.
Right. Because also the main character in this book gives every piece of herself to the war. Literally.
Find a reason to live. And that reason just happens to be pretty toxic.
Because she literally, like, so this is one of the parts that I think alchemized from what I read actually makes a little more sense, because the romance in Alchemized, I think that it has just a lot more, it's a lot darker in the first half, which makes it harder to forgive the things that happened. But also, it's sort of like, in this book, I get why the main character becomes unsure of what she's doing, because I'm unsure of what she's doing. I'm like, yeah, why are you fighting for these people? Why are you fighting for this side that is deeply flawed when this isn't even your country? In Manacold, it's a little bit more like, why are you abandoning them for this person you've known for years as like a bully and a racist and, you know,
like hiding it from the people who love you most.
Right. Who would
however, that for you. In Manacold in part two, she had sort of just like abused by them because they don't realize how hard she's working behind the scenes as a healer. She's not out there using combat magic. So, but it is way, way worse in Alchemized. So it is easier to understand why she's like, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. And I'm just trying to find the will to live every day.
Right. On this point, I have a quote to read because I thought it was so interesting and beautiful and was a great demonstration of why this book is so good at some points. But it gets at this sort of like just utter self-sacrifice that this woman is doing. Like, again, not just her like heart and her mind and her effort, but her body. Like, she basically agrees to be someone's sex slave for the resistance. Yeah. Anyway. So the quote is, this is told to her by the senior healer. You're so young. You don't even know how young you are. You're sacrificing things you don't even comprehend the value of.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually a great summary for the arc of the book, because she's given her youth and what could have been some of her best years away to this group of people that didn't really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she's basically isolated from her friends because the leadership tells her, like, you can't be seen with them.
Yeah, you're a problem. It's like, I don't know. That's the sad part. It's like, she has nothing left because she initially tried to help and it cost her father, her only other person in the world. So at this point, she's kind of like, well, why not stay with the people who, the one other person who cared for me in my life? But then you're kind of like, wow, he is using you, girl.
Yeah,
right. But he also doesn't know what they're doing to her behind closed. So it's like, everything's gray.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because you blame him for not knowing, but you also understand.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to talk about Helena herself. What did you guys think of her? I've already said that I did not like her. How do y'all feel?
I felt bad for her.
Yeah. One comment, I hated the narrator's accent for her.
Yeah.
Audiobook. Sorry.
I think the big problem I had with Helena is that in the first part, I was very unimpressed by her attempts to escape or resist. Mm-hmm. Like, and the things that happen in the second part, I feel like I can understand a little bit more, just because at this point she's orphaned and basically has no one even to look out for her no matter where she is. But in the first part, when she's, you know, being Handmaid's Tale, kept captive, I just didn't think she really even tried that hard to like get around the rules and kill herself. I was like, I'm sorry, I could have done it.
Yeah.
Depression and suppression. Yeah. I agree with you. However, I had no issue with it because I understand that she was just so depressed and so unsure of who she was with the missing memories that she didn't have the energy to do anything more.
Well, I also think there was something deep down inside of her that said, like, trust this person. Like, so that's probably why. I
didn't know that until the second.
I mean, you didn't know that. But like,
Her subconscious is like, hold on.
Like, don't kill yourself. Like, he's got you. You're good. But I do agree, like, she wasn't trying very hard to do anything in that first part because of the depression and suppression. And I also think she went through hell, because I can't imagine being put in a cryo freezer and having all the trace of that. That's horrible.
In Manicure, she's actually just in a prison cell. Mm-hmm. And it just spends the days, like, going over her, like, her textbooks in her head and, like, working out so that she is fit. But they have still forgotten she's there. Like, she's unlisted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think in Manacled, this first part was better for me in some ways, because the reasons why Hermione can't fight back are a lot, like, enumerated in a lot more detail. And there's a lot more complex things happening that, like, keep her suppressed. But also, like, I know that this character had a lot of memories gone, and I agree with you that we learn later, like, why some of her actions were what her actions were. But also, she felt in this first part, like, so personalityless to me. Like, in Manacled, I think she does a better job of transferring Hermione's personality over so that it still feels somewhat like you're reading a real person who just has gaps in her memories. She almost in this first part felt just, like, devoid of any history.
Mm-hmm. I think it's, like, the depression to the point of, like, unwillingness to live, but still hanging on to that survival instinct that's driven her forward for years and years and years. But I do agree that there was some parts of the first part where I was just like, girl, you're not trying hard enough to do it. You've just kind of even given up on that. And I do think that there were moments in the book where I was like, you are super smart, but you are also very clueless to the world around you.
Yeah.
And you are really letting these people manipulate you and walk all over you. And, like, the fact that she didn't figure out that they wanted Kane to die. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, girl, you're doing too much. Like,
yeah.
You believe the best in people, unfortunately.
Yeah, I guess that's just still,
that's not my everything.
Just crazy given life experience. Yeah.
It is interesting too, when you think about her will to live in the context of why she was sent to be with the High Reeve. Mm-hmm. Because in Alchemize, she's simply a prisoner and he's the only person who can examine her memories. In Manacled, she is sent there as a handmaiden there's so many wizards gone from the world, pure blood or not, that they need to repopulate. And she is sent there because she's powerful. And he's powerful, and that's why she's sent there.
To me, it's like the thing that really takes it to the next level is the forced pregnancy.
And that's where it's really hard in both books.
Yeah. But, like, she finally snaps and, like, starts bashing her head against the window, and I was like, goddamn, finally. Like, because I think what this book does really well is it does make you feel that, like, lull and also just, like, rage, but, like, suppressed rage of being caged and trapped and having all these emotions and wants and desires that just you can't express. And so I was like, finally, I feel like she's overdue for, like, an explosion of anger.
Yeah. And how she was just discarded by the Eternal Flame, despite being probably the most powerful person in the room.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess another part of this book is literally just the way it's constructed, which is very interesting. You know, first part, very dark, sexual assault, being held captive with no memories, realizes her captor is actually, like, the person she loves in the second part after she gets all her memories back. And then you get the history of the war and her relationship with both sides. And then the third part is the, you know, heroic escape, the comeback together, forgiveness, healing, life after the war. What did you guys think of the time jumps and how the book is separated?
I think it's very clever, very smart. I had no problems with the time jumps, only that the second part is very, very long. And I just really wanted to get to part three to figure out what the fuck was going on. But I guess that's what spurs you to go on for a 1,000-page book. So kudos.
I also think it's clever because you as the reader also have to reconcile the good and evil in one person. You just get a little longer to do it. So you understand why when part three starts, she is just like a mess because she's trying to put together the person acting as the High Reeve and the person who she grew to love as an undercover spy and put them in the same, like he's done horrible things to her since then, against his will, but still.
Yeah.
Like you have to like work through that and you're working through it too.
Yeah, he wouldn't be a redeeming character if it weren't for the time jumps, because you see the worst of him in part one, and then you get a whole like 600 pages of the best of him. And so then you have to reconcile both, but you've been almost fed the better part of him. So your relevancy or like the most recent thing is in your brain. So you're like, oh, he's still Kane. The one that loves her, even if it's a little creepy and obsessive at times. That happened 600 pages ago. So we can kind of forget about it for a bit until you realize she's pregnant. And you're like, oh, wait, no, you can't forget about it.
Yeah, it was really hard. That's why this book is so good, though, is it makes you sit with it. You would think that everything that happened would be unforgivable, but you can also kind of understand why it is forgivable.
It's war, and there's literally no right choice.
Right. And both characters were forced. And then you get, for me, it was really the like kind of like little things that you realize he did for her in reverse. Mm-hmm. Like the biggest detail for me that sticks out when I think about this book, and it still makes me like feel like, oh, is how she would massage his hand and do the healer's massage. And he was massaging her hand in the first part and you didn't know why. And then you read it in the second part and you're like, that's why he was massaging her hand. And it was so like.
Yeah. Well, and then you find out he has to be cruel to her in the hallways because people are watching, you know, like you're like, why is he so bipolar though? And you're like, oh, that's why. He like had to be.
Right. He had to perform. And also, the other thing I really, really loved about the time jumps is that they have almost the same interactions a few different times in this part two and in part one.
There's some repeated phrases and things.
Yep. Yeah. And it was very well done because it wasn't too much. But
stuff like, do you say that to every girl?
Yeah. And then him like, do you want me to tell you everything I've done? And she's like, do you want to?
And then the O is just the repeated like, come back to me, don't die.
Yeah.
Which is like all they have to hope for in life at this point is just that the other one will not die.
Because both of them are suicidal throughout this book.
Yeah.
Right. Like, understandably so.
Yes. But like the idea of like, don't kill yourself. And also,
if someone cares, stay here.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, we haven't talked that much about Kane yet. What did you think about him? His actual relationship with Helena? Was it toxic?
Because he's described as so much hotter in Manacled.
I actually agree with that. He is
described as like a stringy at one point in this one.
The fact that he's initially like not aged is weird. And she did not have to do that. Like it was weird that when they meet, he's still like a 16-year-old body and then doesn't age till later. I was like,
dying thing is strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was strange because he's
another thing I still don't totally understand.
I don't understand the undead thing. Yeah, no. And I wish that was one of the thing where I would accept if this book was longer, only if I got pictures of all of the like pentagrams or like, you know, the 9-point stars. I want to see the actual alchemy because they describe it so complexly that I can't even imagine it. And I just
because at the end, we're just pulling apart souls and sticking them around random people.
So. I want to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. But also like, why do you only need pentagrams sometimes? Like, it's just very inconsistent world building. But
I'm so confused by all of it.
Yeah, we've already discussed that.
No, he's the High Reeve, the hotter, more, I don't know. You can fall for him a little more when he's Draco. Kane, like, she's like, he's so skinny, and then he's young, and then he's suddenly, like, ghostly white everywhere because I put some stone in him. Which also makes more sense in Manacled, guys.
Yes,
the more I'm thinking about it, I'm like, no, everything makes more sense only because I read Manacled.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me either.
It didn't make any sense. Also, the whole time, I was like, is no one clocking this? Like, he just... His
because
hair
being different.
Yeah, he just like becomes like the moon version of himself, and everyone's like, "Yeah, whatever."
It's the same time as he got that thing etched in him, so like they probably are like, "Huh, weird."
Yeah. But, like, I feel like as a scientist, because
the rapid aging is weird.
Yeah, but like the scientist was still doing experiments on him. Mm-hmm. I feel like he would have figured out that there's some sort of foreign substance in his body other than the thingy.
They sort of did, and that's why they were torturing him so bad by the end.
And also just, like, who's been healing him? Like, I don't know. Everything about it was just so chaotic. I was like, has really no one noticed that he keeps disappearing and comes back healed? Like, no one's noticed.
I think in Manacled, it's a little more. I think she makes a point to sometimes not heal him all the way for that reason.
Yeah, because in this book.
But he's a bit of a man, too, so he could theoretically heal himself.
True. Yeah, I do think that it was toxic and obsessive, but I wasn't like against it.
It was the only good thing in her life. Let her have it.
Yeah. I think actually I don't really have that much of an opinion on him. I didn't love him or hate him, but I understood why their relationship worked because Caitlin, like you said earlier, they're both split between both sides of the war. And don't know what to do about it.
I just
he's the only person in years who has given a crap about her safety and well-being.
Yeah. Or seen the value in her and her skill at all.
Right. And it may have started very toxic, but it wore off.
And she's the only one that seems to care about him in a long while since his mother.
Is it Stockholm syndrome on her part? Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also did... You can almost excuse the toxicness because of how they meet, like trying to basically like he owns her, which is demented in the first place, quote unquote. And then they're both trying to manipulate each other and suss each other out in the beginning because they're technically still on opposing sides of the war. So I feel like it is toxic, but you can also understand why.
But like he didn't immediately like. Go about like, oh, I own you, therefore I own your body and what to do with it. Like he was respectful in that sense.
Didn't really know they'd actually give her over. And then he was like, they value this girl so little.
Yeah.
How do I not care for her at this point?
This woman who is literally keeping their cause alive, by the way, like actually crazy how much she does for them.
Yeah. And the fact that like, it's talked about and I don't totally understand it, but I also kind of understand it like how she heals people creates the toll, which means that like you can die a lot younger because you're using your life force to save people.
That's where in Manacled, it's like the dark magic eats at your soul.
Mm.
The unforgivable curses damage your soul. And there's no way back.
Right.
That's what that is.
Okay. Well, what do you guys think of Helena's pregnancy? And there are criticisms that the book is rape kinked.
It is a bit. Manacled is way more rape kinked.
Yes, I understand the criticism, and I think it's valid criticism.
I understand the criticism, too. That's the ickiest part. It's the hardest part to digest. Not all the mass murders. It's that part.
Yeah. I didn't totally think that this book was rape kinked. I agree that in Manacled it veers more that way, and I'm glad that they
cross it all the way, but it's closer.
It's closer. Yeah,
it's closer to the line in Manacled, and I'm glad that they pulled it back further from there. I understand why people wouldn't read this book for that reason, but to me, rape kink is more making that experience sexually desirable, like
fetishizing it.
fetishizing it. There's dark romances that do that, and not to kink shame, but that is absolutely not for me. In this book, it's at least depicted as horrible and as bad and as like not sexual. Mm-hmm. However, it's hard to write a book where ultimately the character who rapes the other character get together and not have it kind of dance upon that line.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't think the actual rape scenes are rape kinked, because like both sides are not enjoying it. They're both forced into it. The parts where I think it does get a little dicey is the fact that there is a child involved, and that child does get born, and they do end up together with that child. And I think even Kane was like, I would understand if you don't keep the child. Like, obviously, like, this is not mm-hmm. a situation that you chose. And so that's where people are like, ooh, I don't know if I love that idea of her having a kid from that byproduct, but
it sort of kept her alive. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of sad excuse for her to want to live at this point. I don't know. I mean, nothing about rape is ever easily digestible. So,
yeah,
it's like hard, but also like, if we're telling a war story, that is unfortunately often a part of war as well.
It is.
Not saying it had to be in there, but remember, the original story's premise was far more Handmaid's Tale based.
Yeah. It did. So I think another thing I would criticize this book for that I think is why it has trouble defeating the rape kink allegations is because in part three, they both get over it a little too fast for my taste.
Yeah.
It's definitely the book so long at this point, she's trying, or they're trying to wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the part to speed through.
No.
Right. Like the trauma, I understand why they ultimately come back together, but the trauma of this person being someone who violated you so deeply, and also being the person who was forced to violate someone so deeply, is not something you get over in like one night. Mm-hmm. And to me, that made it veer a little more into rape kink, because it almost like minimized the impact that ultimately had on them both, which I think is one of the bigger reasons why the sexual assault parts of the book are still hard for me to stomach a little bit.
Right, just remembering that you were in love shouldn't erase what happened.
Yeah.
Right. And even if you ultimately understand that they were, like, he was also forced, that doesn't mean you can just, like, forgive that immediately or take away the impact that has on your own physiology in response to him. And, you know, as a sexual being, it takes a long time to recover from that, no matter what the circumstances are.
It would have been better if, like, they had not had any more sexual encounters for the rest of the book.
Well, and the author still approached some of the nuances of that new reality. It just was quick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to be honest, so I think there is a version of this that is potentially just as good. I think it's debatable which would be better, because I kind of liked the ending still, but I think it would have also been like sort of a great tragedy if they don't end up together in the end, partly because of that. And I think that would have been maybe doing the topic of like rape a little bit more justice. Mm-hmm. Because then it's like they want to be together and love each other, but there's this wedge that's been driven between them.
He can't not be with her because of the array.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she could choose not to be with him.
Right.
Yes.
However, it's definitely, I will hunt you to the ends of the earth, good or bad.
Yeah.
Which, again, makes it kind of hard to swallow that they get together so quickly at the end.
Yeah.
What else do they have left?
I know. I mean, I'm happy
for them. One small happiness amidst all the bad. That's why it works.
I'm happy for them. And I'm happy, like, they were still fighting at the end, especially when he went off and killed the doctor. She was just like, we don't need to be involved. Like, why are you getting yourself involved? And he, like, she's like, I'm glad she's dead, but we're safe here. is this life so horrible that you have to go out and search for your old life? Right. And I thought that was interesting that they still talked about that stuff.
Right. And to be honest, I do wish that she had ended the pregnancy. But I understand that at that point in the book, the pregnancy is important because that's the reason she even bothers to live.
Well, and it's sort of a turning point of, I also don't love the pregnancy, but it's sort of the turning point of, I have caused enough lives to end. Why end this one?
Yeah.
It's a complicated.
It's still gross.
It's complicated. There's no right answer, unfortunately.
The book is complicated, and that's why it's good, is because all the sort of sides of it are explored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I want to talk about Luke. Our next question is about Luke and also like the guild and Moro and how all these different sides of the war are constructed. I think that this book would have been so much better if we actually understood Helena's relationship to Luke.
Yes.
It is basically not in this book at all, other than for some reason she would die for him. And they have this legendary friendship that we do not understand.
They studied together and stuff.
Yeah.
That's all.
Harry Potter. It's relying
on. That's why Manacled is better, in my opinion, because you don't need to build the relationship. You know it if you've read the books.
Right.
Now, if you just went in the Manacled blind, who knows? You're probably like, who are these people?
Yeah, what the fuck? But it was also like, because they had no relationship that we get to experience, it makes it so much weirder that she's so committed to the war. But it also makes it so much weirder that she's willing to look past all the obvious flaws in their society. Like, Luke's family is the reason their society is like this, and it is extremely classist, extremely patriarchal. They have villainized her because she's a foreigner.
Extremely xenophobic.
Yeah, have also vilified her abilities, which they really need and are keeping them alive.
Right. She's not a charity case in the Harry Potter universe. She's a friend.
Yeah.
Right. And in this book, it felt a lot more like a charity case.
Well, the only person that was really her friend was Lila. That was it.
Yeah. Even that's like dubious.
Yeah.
Right. Even that felt like a matter of convenience.
Yeah.
Because they also just like never see her or seem to really be asking around about her. Like she's clearly pulling away and none of them seem to really care. It's just like, this is just not a real friendship to me.
But at the same time, like if you were on the front lines of a battlefield every day, would you come home at the end and be like, oh, where's my buddy so-and-so? Like,
probably. I feel like, I mean, A, I would, you know, be tired and devastated and probably right. like pulling into myself. But I feel like I'd also be like, I want to see the only people in the world that actually matter to me. Like, I want to know how they're doing.
One of them are next to you already.
Yeah. She got kicked, voted off the island, essentially.
Yeah. It definitely showed, I think, how the adults manipulated the situation and manipulated the kids. And I think that's something that Harry Potter could have delved into a bit more, was that it was children fighting an adult's war and how children were used as pawns in an adult's war.
And actually, I did like how they portrayed Luke for that purpose in this book, is he's just a kid and they put years and years of legacy on his shoulders and expect him to be this God-chosen person who's going to lead them to victory.
And that, like, as long as he remains morally good and pure, he will win because a miracle will come down from the sky. Like, that's a lot of pressure to put on someone.
Yeah. And Manacled, I actually liked that they reflect how disorganized the resistance was in Harry Potter. They're literally just like a fucking group of kids and like a handful of Hogwarts professors that like literally like fight the Dark Lord. Some of the dysfunction in Manacled felt a little bit more understandable, but this is like a whole organized war effort with adults, people who have been training for this, like an army. And so, I don't know. I think I think it was both better in some instances and worse in some instances.
Well, we've kind of talked about the other question, so let's talk about the ending, the epilogue. Well, we get like a fast forwarded ending where they raise their child on an island with Lila and her child that was conceived by Luke, sort of. that was toxic.
Speaking of rape,
that's rape.
But then, you know, it talks about the caveats of like they're all still healing from the war. Lila wants to go back and make things, finish it for Luke, who she loved. They obviously can't go back because they're both war criminals. But they have a daughter who wants to enter the world that they lived in. And she has to, like, reconcile knowing her parents' history and that they're ultimately good people, but can't tell anybody that they're alive.
Yeah, I think it was interesting, like, how she noted that Helena had been written out of the history books, basically, and like her role in it so downplayed because she wasn't like this heroic figure that was on the front lines. She was really just a woman and a healer. And
the photo that they have that says did not fight.
Like that was like the end all be all of war efforts, is if you are on the front lines when there are hundreds of people behind the scenes that
fought more than anybody.
That do a lot more than anybody else. And the fact that she was an immigrant, and that's why that she probably didn't have like a role in that history. And she chose that as well, because she's like, I would want to live out my life peacefully. I want people to believe I'm dead. I do not need this. But like her daughter is reckoning with like, no, my mother is the reason why you all are here today. And I also think it's interesting, and I support that what Lila's doing, where she's just like, no, we have to tell the truth. We have to tell the history as it happened, instead of doing what we did before with Moreau and rewriting it so that he could come to power again, because we didn't know.
Except Lila doesn't even know what the real history was.
Yes, she does not. But she knows some of it, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I interpret it as, in both versions of the story, as her daughter will eventually tell her story when she's gone. It's how I read it.
Yeah.
I do find it kind of strange that her daughter, it's implied, is going to end up with Luke and Lila's child.
A little weird, yes.
Yes. I did not like that flirty ending. I was like, this is honestly kind of weird.
Yeah.
Because also, I feel like Lila was sort of like not held accountable for like the way she treated Helena. Like, I know that they were friends, but she was also very negligent of her and allowed her to be really abused by like people who were close to Lila and would have respected Lila more. I did like the ending. I also picked up on the kind of insinuation that the child would ultimately tell her story. The part that really made me mad, that I think is probably also really accurate, is that, you know, not only was Helena a great healer that all these people owed a lot to, but she also invented a lot of the things that actually kept the resistance alive. And the fact that she never got credit for those inventions just felt like the cherry on top of the insulting cake. Like, she not only like just as a fighter and a human was she ignored, but also as a scientist and an academic, her achievements and her successes in the laboratory were also ignored.
Well, because some of them were morally gray and used stuff that the so-called religious leaders would say that is unholy or ungodly. And it's just like, well, it's keeping you from dying. So
Like the discovery with the obsidian was the most important discovery in the entire war, and no one's going to talk about it.
Would you call the ending a happy ending?
For this kind of book, yes.
I would say it's a bittersweet ending. There's definitely like, it's not like everything's okay again, but all the characters are at a place where they're relatively happy and safe.
It's a realistic ending.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of The Women by Kristen Hanna.
Oh, yeah.
Just thematically, especially with talking about the kind of unseen, unheard toll that war takes on healers and how they're not really appreciated or thought of as fighters, but have a lot of the same negative experiences and PTSD and everything.
They see the same things.
Yeah.
They see worse.
They see worse, honestly, yes.
They got to put the people back together.
Right. And win or lose, their job is equally terrible.
Yeah. Now I have a question for Catherine and sort of Casey, but you started reading Manacled. Who do you think is who in the book?
Well, Lila is Ginny.
She's sort of a combo, mostly Ginny, but sort of parts of Ron in the Manacled.
Yeah. Too.
I thought Sora was Ron.
Yes. But a lot of the like great battles that are happening, it's Harry and Ron.
Okay. Is Ilva McGonagall?
Also tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of.
Okay.
Sort of.
So yeah. Her and Crowther are sort of this mix of Moody, McGonagall, and Kingsley Shacklebolt is how I've picked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who do you think Mandel was?
Bellatrix?
It's even better.
I know this one.
Oh, because you've read.
Yeah.
Mandel. I don't know.
Mandel is Professor Umbridge.
Umbridge.
Oh, that's so smart. I completely forgot about her. Not going to lie.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, a lot of them do translate to like the Weasley parents, Voldemort. Yeah. Draco's dad. The wife's a made up person in both books. So is Dr. Stroud. Matron Pace.
Isn't that the healer in Harry Potter?
Madame Pomfrey.
Yeah, Madame Pomfrey. I was like, I forget her name.
Yeah, and oddly enough, one of the healers that works with her mainly in the book is one of the, I think it's one of the Patel twins.
I got that one too.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So, yeah. Oh, and like, there's a couple random ones, like a couple of the Quidditch girls from the, like, Gryffindor Quidditch team are big fighters in the book and stuff.
Angelina.
Mm-hmm. Some of them.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
I know.
I think that's it. Do you guys have book recommendations?
I have an unhinged one.
Oh, go for it.
No, let's hear it.
I was like, wow, a book about necromancy. When have I read that before? Oh, yeah, I have. Gideon the Ninth.
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
It doesn't take any of like the war romance stuff, but it's the only other necromancy based book I've read. And it's a lot. It's still dark, but it's humorous.
It's humorous and makes more sense.
Yes.
It's a magic system.
Yes. Yeah.
And it happens in space.
It's weird. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm going to recommend Babel.
Thought you were going to say The Woman.
No, I honestly just didn't like The Women enough to recommend it. But I feel like if Babel and The Women had a baby, it'd be pretty close to this book. Minus all the essay. But anyway, I feel like Babel is another book that's like a really long saga, sort of science-y, intelligent main characters, very serious themes, very dark. That has sort of a similarly depressing tone, just sort of dark
foreigner tone,
right? Foreigner, some of those like racism discussions.
Yeah.
And then very kind of bittersweet ending.
Well, I'm going to go with another RF Kuang and do catabasis. Because, yeah, it's like hell. A lot of like magic systems, smart people, and a journey into hell. So deals with some topics and stuff like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's it. If you guys are still
guys, next week will be like the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Literal whiplash. Finally, nice. It is nice to finally have an uplifting busy girl book. It's been a minute since we've had one of those.
I'm so ruined from spooky season in the last 2 weeks that I can't even get into it.
You're like, where is
that? I am damaged, guys.
It broke me.
I'm like, come over here to the dark side. Reject.
I'm like, love isn't real. What are you talking about?
It is just, we're reading Done and Dusted next week, and it is just sort of laughably simple in comparison to the books.
Oh, it's so simple.
Like a barely functioning plot of these two losers. Anyway, high contrast. Okay, anyway, thanks for listening. If you're still listening to us, please rate and review the podcast. You obviously love to listen to us talk. And you can join in more on our conversations at Busy Girls Pod pretty much everywhere. Also busygirlspod.com. We fill out book recommendations and things like that that you can keep track of.
Mind on that, sorry.
Oh, whatever. And I think that's it. I can't even remember what I was going to say. I'm Casey.
I'm Catherine.
And I'm Caitlin. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.